Greetings, shalom, peace be upon you, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. The website can be found at scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives. That's where you go to support this mission of truth. This morning, we are resuming our study, or looking for some wisdom and some encouragement to start our week. We're ready for Psalm 20 and 21 today, and Proverbs 23. Psalm 20 and 21 are Psalms of David. They're Psalms of praise about how dependable God is, especially in the day of trouble. It's a reminder that we don't put our trust in things, human beings, our own power. We put our trust in God. And in Psalm 21 is David praising God for all he's done for him, and then it goes into a reminder of what's to come for those who are opposed to God, those who hate God, those who mock God, those who wish evil on God and God's people. A word of warning for the world today. Now we're going to read Psalm 20 and 21 today out of the Hallelujah Scriptures. Reason being, there's emphasis on God's name in these two passages, or these two chapters, these two Psalms. And so it's just fitting that we read the translation that has made God's name known rather than hidden. So with that said, open up your hearts. Be grateful that you get to be in a position in human history where God's word is so readily available to feed you. Let's begin. Psalm chapter 20, a Psalm of David. Verse 1. Jehovah answers you in the day of distress. The name of the Elohim of Jacob exalts you. He sends you help from the Kodesh place and upholds you from Zion. He remembers all your offerings and accepts your burnt offerings, Selah. He gives you according to your heart and fills all your plans. We sing of your deliverance, and in the name of our Elohim, we raise up a banner. Jehovah fills all your request. Now I know that Jehovah shall save his anointed. He answers from his Kodesh Shemayim with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we remember the name of Jehovah our Elohim. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and are established. Save Jehovah. Let the sovereign answer us in the day we call. So please note, some of the things being hinted at here is that God answers in the day of trouble. He also answers prayer, answers our call, but according to our heart, which is interesting. He gives you according to your heart and fills all your plans. James says, if you don't have, it's because you don't pray, and if you pray and you still don't have, it's because you ask with wrong intentions. It's about the heart. Some have trusted in things, chariots, horses. We will trust in Jehovah. Let's move on to Psalm 21. To the chief singer, a Psalm of David. The sovereign rejoices in your strength, O Jehovah, and how greatly he exalts in your deliverance. You have given him the desire of his heart, and you have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you put before him the barakot of goodness, to say blessings. You put a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Through your deliverance, his esteem is great. You have laid excellency and splendor on him. For you have made him most baruch forever. That is to say, blessed forever. You have made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the sovereign is trusting in Jehovah. And through the kindness of the Most High, he is not removed. Your hand reaches all your enemies. Your right hand reaches those who hate you. You make them as a furnace of fire in the time of your presence. Jehovah swallows them up in his wrath, and fire consumes them. You destroy their fruit from the earth, and their seed from among the sons of men. For they held out evil against you. They devised a plot. They do not prevail. For you make them turn their back. When you aim with your bowstring toward their faces, be exalted, O Jehovah, in your strength. We sing and we praise your might. And that is Psalm 21. I don't know about you, but I long for God to make them turn back, right? We're living in a time when they seem to endlessly and openly get away with their wickedness. We know that their end result is a fiery furnace, right? Is the wrath of God. But here in verse 11 it says, "For they held out evil against you, they devised a plot, they do not prevail. For you make them turn their back." May it be so in our day, Lord. May we live to witness them turn back. May we live to witness seeing their plans unravel and fall apart, and righteousness and revival pour out through the land, and goodness and peace. That's what we all want. But they want blood, death, evil. Let's move on to our Proverbs for today. Let's get some wisdom to start our week. We are ready for Proverbs chapter 23, warnings and instructions continued. Let's begin. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Please note, that's strong language, isn't it? What's Solomon getting at? Put a knife to thy throat if thou be given to appetite. In other words, if you have no self-control and you're given into your lust and your temptations and your desires, you might as well put a knife to your throat because the result is the same. You're setting yourself up for disaster. You're setting yourself up for death, for hurt, for pain, for disappointment. Continuing on, verse 3. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Still talking about the ruler. You know, if you're spending your time with people of power, right? That's what he's getting at. He's warning. People of power and influence, right? Don't fall for their nonsense. Don't be deceived by their dainties. Verse 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Will thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Please note, I'm sorry to keep interrupting. Solomon's saying, don't seek after wealth. It's fleeting. It's here 1 minute, gone next. Don't desire to be rich. It comes with more sorrow than good. Verse 6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, and saith to he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Please note, Jesus says the same thing, in a different way, in a stronger way. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your breath. Verse 10, remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thy heart unto instruction, and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Please note, we live in a generation that just doesn't get it. Oh, that's abuse. Right? The Bible's not saying abuse your kid. What the Bible is saying is correct and discipline your child. It's not going to kill him. And in fact, it's going to set him up to actually have a future, him or her, to have a future, to have a life. If you don't discipline them, the Bible says you hate your child because your child's going to grow up to be a heathen. He's going to grow up to be out of control. He's going to grow up to give in to every desire he has. He's going to have no restraint. So really, it's really, you have two contrasts here. Discipline your child. It's not going to kill him. Don't discipline your child. That will lead them to death. Listen, verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Let's read those two verses one more time. They're powerful, and our generation just doesn't get it. Two verses. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thy heart be wise, any heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my rein shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Lord, help us. Help us to be this very thing. Help us to not look at worldly people and worldly things and people who have seem to have it all. Let us rather than seek to be like them, who these people that get to fulfill their desires on a regular basis, indulge in every passion they have. Let us not seek to be like them. Rather, let us walk in the fear of the Lord all day long. My prayer is for all of us and for myself to have that heart, to walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long, rather than be pondering on our passions. Have mercy on us, Lord God. Verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among wine-bibbers, among rider-eaters of flesh. For the drunken and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken to thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begotteth a wise child shall have joy of them. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among them. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. You see, in this proverb, Solomon seems to be warning about staying away from these, I call it passions or lust or desires. More than once he's warning about alcohol, wine specifically. Don't long at it. It'll ruin you. It'll bring you to poverty. Also, he's saying, my son, stay away from the strange woman. That's a deep ditch. That's a pit you can't come out of. And just a reminder, what he's talking about, a strange woman is a woman who's not your wife. Or who's not wife worthy. Just a strange woman that you go and indulge your flesh with. That's a deep ditch. That's a pit. It's going to destroy your life. Stay away from those things. Wine, strange women. That's what he's warning his sons. A few more verses here. Verse 31. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thy eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Again, he's saying, if you go out and you start drinking the wine, before you know it, common sense is out the door. Now you have no self-control when it comes to this strange woman, or self-control out of things that come out of your mouth and the thoughts that enter in your head. And now you're setting yourself up for potential destruction, to potentially make an error that you can't take back. Two more verses. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That is our wisdom and encouragement for this week. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you've been blessed and strengthened and given something to think about, and your hearts have been pierced. Let's focus this week on not longing for the life and the pleasures that we see those indulging around us, but rather let's walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for me and my family, and thank you to those who support this mission of truth. It's far beyond what I deserve. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.